Off the Ball.
GAA.
Hurling is in dreamland. Take out that match the weekend for Kilkenny. Hurling is just in paradise at the moment, lads. Like, hurling just keeps giving, giving, giving.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
Very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the Koigig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here, and I am joined as ever by Captain Karen Duggan to look through the final weekend of the WSL. We made it to the end, Karen, at long last.
And we're still talking to each other.
What progress. I mean, fair play to us. What's it, like our third season now?
Yeah. Look, we lost a few bodies along the way, but these things happen.
I know. Well, we're nice and consistent and loyal to the podcast, so that's all that matters. We can give ourselves a pat on the back for getting this far along. We will be running through our team of the week a little bit later on, and then we are going to be joined by Gilly Flaherty to look back on all the action that happened over the weekend. I mean, it was the perfect weekend of storylines when it came to getting goals from Midaba, Fran Kirby, Emma Hayes getting her perfect send-off, United not doing too well. I'll say we're talking about that for a little bit later on. I won't push you too much on it, Karen, since we are still talking, as you pointed out. Besides all the football, did you get to enjoy the sunshine?
I had a great weekend. I had a wedding on Friday. Great crack, great weather. And Saturday, the drive back from Galway wasn't the best, but we made it to the match. Had a match, won that in the sun. That was nice. Then I know everyone's all Bruce Springsteen. Went to Girls Aloud. Honestly, up there with, I'd say, honestly, pushing Westlife for the most fun you can have at a concert. It was top tier.
That is a big claim. It did look like a lot of fun. I saw a few of my friends were at it, and I was kind of raging I didn't get tickets because I forgot how many of their songs are bangers and ones that I absolutely love.
I was like, when can I go to the bathroom? You know, we have that. And I was like, which one can I go for? But they played, there was too many, and I ended up missing Jump, and I was very upset about it. But then another one came.
That's a pretty devastating one to have to miss, but I'm glad you had a fun time. I myself was at Bruce. I was one of those people that was all Bruced out for the weekend. And you can't tell by the sound of my voice, I had a lot of fun. I did a lot of singing, even though I don't actually know that many of his songs. And I think my boyfriend was like vaguely embarrassed by me because he is actually a big Bruce fan, whereas I just like enjoy the music.
These Bruce fans like go to every concert. There's like been about five in Ireland and people are going to all of them. I was like, okay. I mean, they're not Westlife, but okay.
Oh no, like Bruce fans are hardcore Bruce fans. And it's not cheap to do it either. Like our tickets were €136 each. And I'm like, you're doing like four or five nights of that, plus like accommodation, everything else. But he's like a god to them, the way they react. But I mean, it was a great show. The band was absolutely insane. I've decided that in another life, I would like to be a saxophone player because I just think it's such a cool instrument.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I don't think I could pull off a saxophone, but maybe I could play the triangle in the band.
I mean, that suits me. The whole podcast can just be about that. It was cool as well, like running out onto the pitch, look at me, who am I? But like going onto the pitch in Croke Park, and it was such a beautiful evening as well. And it was just really nice to, I didn't, you know, have that like experience of looking around you and being like, so this is what people see when they're running out on All Ireland Day, and it's like blazing sunshine and 80,000 people are roaring.
Yeah. I mean, most of us won't get to experience that, but again, even obviously the result didn't go well, but Old Trafford this weekend, you know, that's what you want to see. The girls want to be getting these chances. And obviously we have Ireland games coming up and we're going back to the Aviva and stuff like that. So, it's great. It's always great to be out there in any capacity.
Yeah, I remember before interviewing Eileen Gleeson, I think it was when she was just appointed and they did it on the pitch at the Aviva. And I did just take a little moment to myself running out. And I was like, yeah. I'm just going to soak this in because I am never going to get any sort of opportunity to be here for any sort of sporting reason ever again. And speaking of, actually, she's announcing her squad on Wednesday. I think it's due at around 10 o'clock in the morning. Do you think we're going to see any surprises, or do you think it's probably going to be pretty standard?
Pretty standard, you'd imagine. I mean, the only thing that would surprise us is if there's some injuries that we haven't quite heard about or something like that. So hopefully that's not the case. But I mean, we've introduced a lot of new people in the last while anyway. It would be hard to see that more people will come out.
We said it last time,
Karen.
We did
say that the last time.
The beard.
Yeah, this is true. So, yeah, I could be eating my words there. But, no, I think you need to solidify the squad now, kind of get everyone bonded. These matches are going to be tough. They're going to have to do a lot of work in the short space of time to get ready for, you know, when they do have the playoff. So I'd like to see some consistency in the squad, but of course, like, it is, you are just at the mercy of injuries. Unfortunately, they keep coming thick and fast.
Yeah, and especially at this stage of the season where everyone's a little bit tired, and you know, I suppose the championship players at least have had a couple of weeks off, but for the WSL ones, it's kind of straight into madness because you have that Sweden game on the Friday, and then they have to travel to Sweden for the return game, which is on a Tuesday, I think. And so it's like, it's quite a tight turnaround for the squad. Even the fact that like England announced their squad last week for the fixtures all the way in July. So I don't really know what mind game Serena Wiegmann is trying to play there.
Yeah, I guess she just was hopeful that nothing would happen the last game of the season, and hopefully everyone came through that unscathed. I think we thought the last game of the season would throw up more eventful circumstances, but it kind of went the way we expected, unfortunately for the neutral, I think.
Yeah, unfortunately for the neutral, definitely. I mean, I was cursing you watching the United Chelsea game. I was just like, come on, Karen, give me something to have a bit of fun. It's like yesterday, whenever City scored after like a minute and 26 seconds, I was like, come on, at least give me like the first half to have a little bit of hope.
No, to be fair, like I think United or Chelsea would have won that match no matter what. But and they did have Old Trafford to try to like buoy themselves and stuff. But to go from the high of the FA Cup into a game against a team that you kind of know are better than you, and you're not really playing for anything, I'm not going to justify the performance, but I understand. I mean, I've been in a situation where we won a league, and it was first time we'd won it in ages, and we got so excited after winning the league that we did celebrate it. And obviously we went into a cup final then, and in our heads we were ready and we absolutely were fit enough to go and do it, but we couldn't quite rise to the occasion, and we were playing for something. So to be not playing for something, I'd imagine subconsciously it just, the FA Cup probably just took a lot out of them. I think the season took a lot out of United, and the gulf in class between themselves and Chelsea was very evident to see, unfortunately. It was something to look at, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of got to the stage where I was like, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy some goals and not think that United are going to actually put it up at all.
I think once Chelsea hammered Bristol in that way, I kind of just knew that they had that they would go on to do it. I just couldn't see it going any other way, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right about United in that it's so hard when you achieve your first ever silverware as a club. And as you said, after a particularly not easy season for them in general, you totally would just check out a little bit and think, well, you know, I'm fit enough. I'm like, I've had enough time to prep throughout the year. It's the end of the season. It'll all be fine. But I think you saw a lot of the naivety in the team as well. Like, just
the defending was absolutely woeful. We can talk about it a bit more with Jillie. I'm sure she'll put her expert views on that. But I mean, yeah, it was not a good day at the office. I don't think we'll be seeing any of the United players appear on Team of the Week this week, unfortunately.
No, I don't think so. And that, Karen, is absolutely brilliant segue for me to go into Team of the Week. I mean, do you do this professionally or something? Unfortunately, we don't have Emma Carroll with us this week, but she did send through her team. So any complaints, do not direct them towards myself and Karen. It's all issues lie with Emma, please and thank you. So in goal, we have Leet, and then she has Maritz, Turner, Charles, Cuthbert, Daly, Hemp, Miedema, Rayton, Ramirez, and Kiernan. very surprised not to see Fran Kirby in there with the emotions that Emma was showing at the weekend when she scored, and just as a general little pat to her, because I know she's a big fan, but very hard to argue with the players that she does have in there. She was joking as well that she was only going to put in one defender and it would likely be the goalkeeper with the amount of goals that were scored.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue for Fran Kirby, because I could have argued to put a lot more Chelsea players even in the team for that. Obviously, you've got Charles in there. Yeah, she's definitely worth her place. I thought Canerid was really, really good. I agree with Wrighton being in. And that Ramirez performance,
terrifying.
It's like when you think of what's to come. I kind of feel like next season it could be the Ramirez versus Shaw could be the main storyline of the year. It's just the way she can breeze past players, and it's not even like pace, it's just power and composure on the ball, and even her finish for that goal. Like, yeah, she's an unbelievable talent, and yeah, if I was a centre back coming up against them, I'd be quite scared. I thought Everton maybe deserved a little shout or a little representation in there. I'm gonna butcher the name, but Snoys, the striker. she was really, really good. And yes, but I'm not gonna, unless she was gonna take out another defender, we're not taking Leanne Kiernan out of there. Hat-trick hero.
No.
Amazing.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Yeah,
and not tap-ins. Like, she had a lot of work to do for all of the goals. And to end the season on that high with the match ball going into an international window, I think every Ireland fan is like, oh, thank God.
I know. She's had such a good run of form the last while that I'm almost slightly sad that the season is coming to an end, just so she could like get that consistency up a little bit more. But I suppose as well, with her injury profile in the past, it's potentially not the worst thing in the world that there is maybe a bit of time now and she can just focus on the international side, especially since these are the games that realistically, if we're going to get goals, they're probably the ones that hopefully maybe they're going to come in.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we're hoping for. Yeah, just an injury for Leanne Kiernan, just in terms of options, because she can obviously play the striker role, she can play in the wing. There's going to be a quick turnaround as travel, you're going to need legs. So, she provides that in abundance. So great to see her playing with confidence. I think that's the main thing with her. Then back to team of the week, I suppose. We got our sentimental input in there by putting Miedema in there. And it was just like, the goal she scored was a classic Vivian Miedema goal, like just great movement, composed finish. It was lovely to see kind of the outpouring of emotion and stuff from everyone being so happy for her. And still begs the question as to what the F are they doing?
Well, that's exactly what I thought whenever she scored, was that it was a classic Miedema goal, and it was almost a bit of a
first touch as well.
Yeah. First touch, even just the way she hit it and everything, it had that slightly like lazy composure that she looks like she has on the ball, but like she completely has absolute control and it's not going to get away from her. And it just, I don't know, like if she had got a new contract and that was, she scored that goal on the final day of the season, you'd be like, right, okay.
Yeah.
Going to have the summer now to like properly get fitness back up and just, you know, get back to normal after the ACL. I'm just going to come back in the new year. I'm just going to do absolutely brilliant things.
But the thing is, she could do that, but just won't be for Arsenal.
I know. That's the thing. Now you're just looking at it going, oh my God, she's going to destroy us next year. I don't know if you saw, but apparently Lot Wubemoy kind of made a bit of a reference in her Instagram post about the potential of Miedema going to City and then changed it. So that seems even more likely now.
No, I didn't see that, but I'm sure that Arsenal fans are all over that. They're a very keen eye, these Arsenal fans on Twitter. They don't really miss a beat.
Oh, like investigative journalists.
Their opinions, I'm sure. Adebal has muted a lot of his social media in the last week or so.
Well, I think he was getting quite a lot of stick from even just some of the posters that I saw over the weekend at the game. There was a lot of rather than saying goodbye to Minima, basically just giving off about Edamal and what was he doing, which is totally valid. I think it's if whenever you let go a player like that, even if it was a semi-mutual decision, or even if like it was her going herself, you're always going to question, well, why are you letting it happen? Because she's just generational talent and there's not too many of them around.
Yeah, the only thing I can kind of compare it to is like when United were scared not to sign Ronaldo. It was like, you know, that kind of reaction is like, what would happen if we didn't do it? And now they haven't renewed her contract. And yes, it'll be really, really interesting to see. I hope she gets back to the player she was a couple of seasons ago, because she just has that. She brings that excitement to the league. Hope she stays in the league. It'd be great. You know, you don't want to lose talent. And I don't think anyone really wants to leave the WSL at the moment, unless you're going to Barcelona, because it is the place to be. One player that's just on team of the week as well, and that I'm sure they'll be hoping to keep, is Aston Villa having Daly. You could again just see the influence she had and the link up with Daly again. And if they had that for the whole season, would their story have been a little bit different? It'd be very, very interesting to see, because she's so much quality.
Yeah, and we saw that whenever she wasn't playing for them because of injuries, they just kind of fell apart a little bit. So she's going to be absolutely key. It's also very happy to see Cuthbert in there in Team of the Week as the final. I think she's probably one of the most consistent people that we've had in the team over the year. And sometimes the job that she does doesn't get a lot of praise, but she's been absolutely crucial for Chelsea this year, especially with the injuries to Millie Bright.
I saw in one of the interviews with Emma Hayes after the game, and they were kind of like, oh, did you think you'd win it after you scored the first or second goal? And she was like, yeah, because I had my leaders on the pitch, and she kind of knew that they could see out that job. But for me, Cuthbert was that person who consistently kept them in the title, was that leader throughout the whole year, so consistent. So yeah, she's absolutely deserving of her place there, and probably on team of the season, I would say as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we will save our team of the season for our awards podcast a little bit later on. But a little sneak peek into who Karen is going to be putting up there. And I have no doubt that we will probably see a few Irish players in there too, since we do like a little green tinted. I mean, can you put Leah Kiernan in just for the last run of four?
You know, we won't.
Yeah. I feel like Emma definitely would with her Liverpool loyalties as well. So yeah, that is our final team of the week for the season. Thank you very much to Emma Carroll for pulling them together. It is not an easy job, especially when all the kickoffs tend to coincide and she has to try and work out which of all the players deserve to be in there. Coming up next, we'll be chatting to Jilly Flaherty about all the WSL action. Now, I'm delighted to say that we are joined by Jilly Flaherty to look back at all the action in a little bit more detail. Jilly, we have our champions, Chelsea. What are your feelings on it?
Listen, I think over the course of the season, I think Chelsea were the deserved winners of it. I think they give several opportunities to, obviously, Man City to capitulate on it, obviously with the recent game as well against Liverpool, which Chelsea lost. There was a prime chance for City to go and get the win. Obviously they did have a difficult game against Arsenal, but to concede in the manner they did, two late goals, obviously didn't help at all with the title chances. And I think once that result happened, I think it was then really in Chelsea's hands again come the end of the season. I did think, and I hope, that United would have given Chelsea a bit of a better game, purely for the fact of that I wanted a bit more drama on the last day of the season. But it wasn't meant to be. But I think it's just over the course of the season, I think with Chelsea, the injuries that they've had, I don't think there'd be anyone else in the league to lose the players that they have done. Of course, yes, they bought in Ramirez, but to still lose the likes of Sam Kerr, you know, Mia Fischl, and then to go on and potentially play most of the season without Millie Bright as well, and to still be able to go and obviously win the league, I think was huge for them. So yeah, I think they deserved it over the course of the season.
Boring, yeah. Though, isn't it? They're boring. And it was kind of written in the stars. I mean, for a while there, we thought Emma Hayes would have the absolute disastrous ending, but I think considering what she's done for women's football, we can't really begrudge it as much as we did want a bit more drama.
Well, especially when you look at the City results, I mean, they very nearly made a hames of the whole thing themselves. And if they had, if it hadn't been closer in the Chelsea game and it was like 1-1 in the City Villa game, it would have made for way better drama. But I suppose also, as I was saying to Karen earlier, Jilly, you could just kind of sit back and eventually just enjoy the goals, enjoy the storylines that came out. You had Emma Hayes, you also had the likes of Frank Kirby getting a goal. And I think a lot of Chelsea fans would have been absolutely delighted for her as much as they were anyone else.
Yeah, and I do think that, obviously, you're looking at 2-3 weeks ago, there looked like there was a good chance that Chelsea were going to be bringing nothing home this season. And I do think if you're looking at it like that, it wouldn't have been fair, I think, for on Emma and what she's done to the for the women's game for her and her last season to be coming away with nothing. But yeah, I just think the way that Chelsea scored so early on, two big goals, it sort of obviously just killed Man United. And I think if Marla Tissier scores, obviously she had a chance, didn't she, with a header, and it goes to 2-1, it could have been a different game. But then I think Chelsea just ramped it up again, and then I think it was out of reach completely for him. And then obviously in the City game, like to have like 31 shots or wherever it was, but only have 12 on target, like that's ridiculous. Like, so it just sort of, I think it just City just fell short of it. I think losing Bunny Shaw the last few weeks as well has been difficult for them. And potentially if she was playing, then some of them chances would have gone away. And we could have had the excitement of the Chelsea banging in goals, City banging in goals as well. But yeah, it just wasn't meant to be for them.
Yeah, I think, Karen, you said like quite early on that Bunny Shaw's general fitness was going to be absolutely crucial to how City did this season. And I think the game on the weekend in particular showed how much that team is set up around her and how much they miss her when she's not there.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Man City played some unbelievable football, and some of the positions they got themselves into were great. I thought that the Villa keeper had a stormer as well. But I still feel if I was City, I'd feel excited still for next season. I think the emergence of like Mary Fowler towards the end of the season, I think she's been fantastic. It'll be interesting to see who goes out the door, because they really do have at the core of a very, very good team. Obviously they need someone new to step up as captain, as club captain. So it'll be an interesting time for them. I think that around Gareth Taylor, any chatter about him, that's all put in the past now, because I think they've really gone from strength to strength this season. Whereas that's obviously not the case with Arsenal. I think there's always going to be the rumblings around Adeval, and then Chelsea, obviously it's a new manager coming in who's going to want to make their stamp on things. So I wonder if the consistency that they lacked in previous seasons, that in the momentum that they've built this season, can push them to the next step next season. Maybe with the addition of a certain other striker, that would help as well. But yeah, we'll see. I think it was going to be one of those games. I don't, even if they'd scored more goals, they weren't going to score 10 goals or whatever it ended up as, 8. So I think Villa have more pride than to have allowed that to happen. But yeah, I mean, Bunny Shaw was huge. I think they could, again, might have had more goals against Arsenal had she been present in that game, and we might have had a different storyline. But it is what it is, and champions know how to win, and they knew how to win big at the end of the season when it counted. Chelsea did, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're definitely right, and I think next season will be really interesting because you'll have what's like a matured City team and how the players that are there and how they've managed to mould themselves together. And then you'll have a very changed face of Chelsea, even if you look at the players that are leaving alongside Emma Hayes. They've been such key leaders within the group of players, never mind, you know, off the pitch as well. So definitely an opportunity there for someone to challenge Chelsea a little bit more. In terms of United, Jilly, like, did they leave their heads in Wembley a little bit?
Yeah, maybe they had too much of a party after Wembley. But it's odd, because I was saying that when I was at West Ham, we had the FA Cup final against Man City, and we lost it, but we actually played really, really well. And it was a shame, really, because I really would have just liked us to end the season on that game, because it was a credit to us how we played against City, really. We was underdogs. And then we come up against Brighton the week after, where we should have beat Brighton, and we got absolutely trumped 4-0. We was awful, and it was like the curse of Wembley, except we didn't win at Wembley. But yeah, I think it's different. I just thought that United, after having that win in Wembley, I just thought, and knowing that the last time they played Chelsea, they beat them in the semi-final as well, I thought United have got it on the cards here to really spoil the party. But I think with Ramirez starting for Chelsea, I mean, she's an absolute bully. Like, there's no centre-back I've seen currently in the WSL who can live with her. To have her back and available, when that was sort of like a surprise package, really, because everyone thought she was injured and not available. And I just think United just looked lost. They literally looked like they was just a middle-of-the-table average team. And I think when you play up against Chelsea like that, who were in the mood that they were in, it's difficult. And I think playing at Old Trafford, I don't necessarily think United play well at Old Trafford anyway. I think it could have been potentially different if they were playing at the Lee Village. But obviously this
I think you're right. I think the pitch did play into it. I think the vastness of the pitch, it left them very exposed. I think against a player like Ramirez, she can run at you so much. You really have to minimise the space that she can run into and try and keep everything tight and compact. It's very hard to do that in Old Trafford. Maybe they didn't expect her to start, didn't talk about that much during the week. But yeah, the floodgates really open. But there was some really poor defending as well. I mean, some of those balls could easily have been cleared. Getting pushed off it too easily, as centre-backs, you should be hurt by that, but they didn't seem to be, you know. So that's something individually that they'll need to look at. But I think you're right. I think they just couldn't get up to the pace of the occasion and the quality. And you call them a mid-table team. They're not far off a mid-table team. And they really need to just have a good look at themselves and see how they want to approach games and get more of an identity. I'd prefer them to, you know, even become a little bit more negative and play on the counter if that meant that they solidified things and were a bit more consistent and just their identity throughout the season. But I think they need maybe another defender, another centre mid to do that.
It is hard for United because, like, as you were saying, Julia, about your experience, you know, you would have been on such a high last week and now you've just been absolutely trounced by Chelsea, handed them the WSL title with a bow on it. And it must be hard mentally to, like, go back to the other game and be like, okay, well, we did win that trophy. We did have, like, a fairly, while the league season wasn't good, that's a fairly big step for them.
Yeah, and I think it's because someone asked me Saturday night, actually, I done the women's football show, and they asked me, did I think, if you look at, say, City and Man United and Liverpool, who had the better season? And I'm like, okay, naturally, straight away, I wanted to say Liverpool because I know, obviously, listen, Man United, they've won the FA Cup. That's a huge cup for any club to win. But I just think the Man United, the size of the club, and I know, obviously, the age of them in the women's game isn't as long. Obviously, they've not played in the top flight for that long compared to other teams that are in there. But the size and the weight of the responsibility and all of that that comes with playing for United and the expectations. Now, I say that I think that sometimes we as fans of the game and media expect United to be a lot higher where they are because of the name rather than actually like the investment or the actual squad, whether they're good enough to challenge. And then you compare it to Liverpool, for example, who have beat them to fourth place. In my opinion, Liverpool mucked up because they should have been in that FA Cup final, because if you're looking at league performances, they should have beat Leicester. And I think if they'd have beat Leicester, I think they would have beat Tottenham in the semi-final. And then for me, I would have fancied them to go and beat United in the final as well. So I think if you're looking at that, I spoke to Beardy a couple of weeks ago and he said this, he kicks himself because it was their best chance really to get there. But in regards to United, I think if you're looking at the way people talk about United, that they should be pushing the top three, in their games against the top three, they've been poor. So obviously, looking at, they beat Chelsea in the FA Cup, but they've been poor. They've not pushed them. And that's what I think, if you want to be that team that's competing for fourth or competing for third or whatever, you have to then go and challenge against the top three. Whereas like Gavin said, I think with United, there's no DNA at all. There's no way that they play. It's a lot of individual players, and it just looks like they're just all over the shop.
And what's the recipe of change? It doesn't look like Mark Skinner is going anywhere soon. Is he the manager that can actually bring an identity to this team, Karen? I know you've been kind of critical of him in the past.
Yeah, I think he's had long enough with them now to have come up with something. I think they were lucky with the players they had in the previous season, that things clicked together. I don't think he's been able to just get any fluidity in how they play. Like, a lot of their goals that you see, they come from like a high press and like a closing down, as opposed to formulated passage of play. It's something that comes straight off the training ground. It's like a moment of magic from Ella Toon, or it's just Garcia absolutely running herself into the ground. So I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think that it's twofold. I'm not convinced on Skinner knowing what he wants to do with the team, and I'm not convinced that he knows the right players to bring in, or if they have the investment to bring the type of player in that will gel it all together. I don't really know what the formula is, unless it's going to be massive investment and they kind of like start from scratch. But that's very rare that someone will be given the opportunity to do that, especially given what the league looks like this year. If you were the owners, would you be saying, is now the right time to invest in this team? They're quite a bit off. They'll maintain their status in the WSL for a while. Let's fix all the other high profile issues that are going on in the club, and then maybe the women will come into the forefront. But I don't know.
Julie, you mentioned Matt Beard there, and I know it'll probably go to Emma Hayes just because of winning the league and everything, her leaving. But for me, he's been manager of the season in terms of what he's done with Liverpool, the place he's got them to. And you can totally understand why he would be hitting himself over that FA Cup run that they didn't manage to get a little bit closer to, it because it really felt like it was a season where they did break through.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I still would give it to Beardy, the manager of the year, because I think, okay, yeah, Chelsea won the league, but they didn't do well in the Continental Cup. They didn't obviously do well in the FA Cup either. So I think, and I think if Chelsea didn't win the league, then there'd be a lot of talk of, well, hold on a minute, they've spent all this money and they've got no trophy. So I think take away the sentiment of it, yeah, being Emma's last year, in my opinion, with what Beardy's done at Liverpool is huge. And I think the club deserve a lot of credit, because I went up there a few weeks ago and they've obviously moved training ground. So they've gone to Melwood, which is obviously the old men's training ground. And there has to be some correlation, the fact of that since they've moved there, all that stuff off the pitch, you know, the training facilities there are second to none. There's no surprise then that the on-field, the way they've been playing, has been the best that they've played. And I think, obviously, looking at it, it's only the second season back into the WSL, and they're finishing above United, and they're finishing in a strong fourth position. And it's a shame, really. I said it's a shame that there's not really another European competition for players or for clubs that finish fourth, because it's hard, because unless like he got to the cup final or they'd won something, you're going to look at that and think, oh, you've come away really with nothing this year. But fourth for a club who got relegated and then have come back into the league, that's huge for him. So I know, yeah, Emma probably would get it because of the fact of the sentiment side of things. And yes, Chelsea have won the league. But for me, Beardy deserves to be the manager of the season for what he's done at that club.
Karen, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It's so, because we see how hard it is when teams come up from the Championship to stay in the league the first year, but then to go from where they were talked about in the relegation battle the previous season, and the jump that they've made to make that much of a marked improvement deserves the praise, and it deserves the same amount of attention that we've given, say, Villa during the year, who we pegged as going to be a good team, who were fighting relegation nearly at the start of the season for a while. So I think he deserves a massive credit. I think he recruited well, got the kind of players in that fit his style, the likes of, you know, Jenna Clark. He needed another centre back, especially knowing Niamh Fahey obviously has some injury, where he's like just a bit more clever and not going for big name, big money signings, but he has a view of how he wants to play, and then he finds the players to fit that, as opposed to retrofitting it the other way around. So yeah, I think that's a mark of a really, really good tuned in manager.
Yeah, and obviously having the likes of Leanne Kiernan coming back, getting a bit of consistency of form, banging in those goals, is something that we like to see from an Irish perspective, especially ahead of that other meeting with England during the summer, Julie. In terms of Arsenal, and obviously they got the big win against Brighton, 5-0. Miedema got her goal. We were chatting a bit about it earlier, myself and Karen, just how it was such a classic Miedema goal, and it almost, Julie, it hit you even harder again. Like, I'm an Arsenal fan, that you were letting go a generational talent, and I suppose it makes you question the decision a little bit more again.
Yeah, and I mean, I had a friend text me today. She was like, "What's your opinion on Miedema going?" And I could just tell she was so fuming about it. She's like, "She's gonna come back. She's gonna bite us in our backside next season with goals." And yeah, I mean, for me, Viv, when she's fit, is one of the top three, if not top five, in the world. Do you know what I mean? So for Arsenal, and she's not a player that's like 32, 33, by the way. She's like, I know she's coming back from a difficult injury, but even then, to see, obviously, come on, she bangs a goal in. And just when you have a player like Miedema in your team, you just know that if a chance falls to her, she's gonna get a goal. And even like, obviously, she played a little bit deeper for Arsenal because she wanted to get on the ball. So, and I think it was that understanding of what position is best for Miedema, because obviously she started off originally as the 9, then she dropped to the 10. But whether there be things off the pitch in regards to her at the club, whether there's a bit of, obviously, there's videos that have gone around on Twitter last week of her against Everton, where she sort of pushes Jonas's hand away and stuff, and whether that's a problem off the field or whatever. But I just think when you have a player like Miedema, you don't just let her leave, especially not on a free transfer as well, to probably go into one of your nearest rivals and say that the reason for that is because you want to freshen things up. Like, it's just, it's mental. And I just hope for Arsenal's sake that this isn't something which they look back in a season's time and think, why and how did we let one of the best players just walk out his club?
I think even if she doesn't go on to have incredible season and bite them in the arse, I think it's really bad business to have had someone like that in your ranks and have not nailed down a contract well enough to benefit from her leaving, even if it is the right thing for the player or for the manager. I just think the game has gone beyond making it that easy to just let your best players go. And I think United were guilty of it last year and potentially could happen this year as well. And I thought Arsenal wouldn't have fallen into that trap a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely think even it has always felt that Ada Val didn't know what to do with Miedema in terms of where to play her or even what she wanted to do while he's been there, and probably got away with it just because she is so good and she probably will acclimatise to whatever she has to do. But it's always felt like a tricky relationship between the two of them for whatever reason. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was some of the off-field stuff that was contributing to it. Tilly, just to wrap up, just want to get your final thoughts on West Ham, difficult season in general.
I mean, it hurts me with West Ham because obviously I spent 4 years there, and it's frustrating because I think you're looking at the catchment area that they're in, you know, they should be doing so much better than what they're doing. But one, like, for example, a thing that frustrates me with the club is that they're the only team not to play at the main stadium and haven't played there since we lost to Tottenham. I think it must be about five years ago now, maybe 6 years ago. Like, that's ridiculous, and it's poor. And it seems like there's excuses thrown about of, oh, the men don't own the stadium, it costs too much. But for me, what's that showing to your club? Do you know what I mean? Like, you're looking at Arsenal, okay, it's different in regards, obviously, Arsenal and the stadium or whatever, but Arsenal are playing that the Emirates is going to be the main stadium next year. And I know this, you're looking at finances and stuff, but I think things like that just doesn't look well on West Ham at all. And I think they've been lucky the last few years because there's always been one team that's worse than them in the league. And that saved them. And I think, obviously, Skinner's gone in there. I mean, they had good results against some of the... They nicked some points off the top of the clubs and they sort of caused a few issues. But it was the consistency that they lacked. And I think, for me, they need to really know what their vision is in regards to WSL. Are they just there to be picking up the bottom half of the table, or could they really go on and challenge and try and be like a Villa or try and aim for the fifth and the sixth spot? I don't believe that they'll ever be a club that challenges for Champions League and stuff. I don't believe that at all. But there's no reason why they've got such a good in regards to facility. Like the women's team obviously share the training ground with the youth boys, but they've got their own building. They have good facilities down there, and it's just that's what frustrates me, because it just, they should be doing better than what they are, and they've underachieved for me in the last few seasons. And it's just, they have to decide really as a club what they want to do and how they see the women's team.
Well, I think a lot of people would like to see that as well, just in terms of adding a bit more competitiveness to the leagues. They're generally quite a frustrating team to watch. You feel like there's potential and then they go and do something silly or someone gets injured and things just kind of fall apart a little bit for them. Jilly, thank you so much for joining us this evening and sitting inside when it's so sunny outside. We do very much appreciate it. Karen, thank you as always. The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is with Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so on Twitter/X at the Koi Gig Pod. We're always keen to hear your thoughts. How do you feel about how your team did? Now it's the end of the season. Are you disappointed that we've just witnessed another Chelsea win, or do you think it's a good send-off for Emma Hayes? Do let us know, and we will see you very soon for some end-of-year awards and also a look ahead to those Sweden internationals, which are coming up very soon. Thank you all for listening, and we will chat in a short while.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.